Already in this atmosphere of praise and prayer and worship. So I just want us just to take just one moment and just simply say, God, speak to us. All right? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just want you to speak to us tonight. We want you to remove any fog. We want you to remove any distraction and allow us, Lord God, to tune into your heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, let our ears be attentive. Let our eyes be open. And let our lives respond to what you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. And this is a familiar passage. It's a passage that usually when I speak from this passage, I go for I try to get the whole chapter. But tonight I just felt led, and I believe that we'll see kind of the way the service has gone, that maybe this is why the Lord wanted to just focus in on just these few verses tonight. But Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, and not on things on the earth, not on the things of the earth. And I want to pause there before we go into the next two verses, and I just want to just briefly share about these two verses. It is so easy for us to become distracted by the things that are going on in the world around us. It is too easy. We're entering into a season where there's the political firestorm beginning to kick up. We're getting closer and closer to November. There's going to be distractions on television. I can't watch anything on TV anymore without there being some kind of a political advertisement telling me who I need to vote for in November. There are so many things going on in the world. I can get distracted by the political climate. I can get distracted by the economic climate. I can get distracted by issues that are going on everywhere around me. I can get distracted by things going on in my own home. Right? And we are admonished. Paul admonishes us, and in all reality, if you look at it, it's Paul and Timothy writing this to us. And Paul, through Timothy, is writing to us and telling us, we need to make sure that we focus on what we need to be focused on. He said the first thing that we need to do is we need to be seeking where Christ is. And I know that there's a double aspect of this. We can talk about Christ and those around us, and how that inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Christ. And that's a very valid point, but that's not really what Paul was going for in this passage. What he was trying to do was he was trying to cause us to recognize and realize that we're not citizens of the earth. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're passing through, we're citizens of heaven. And so he wants us to seek for the things where Christ is. And so what we need to begin to do is, instead of focusing on the problems that we have down here, we need to focus on the solutions that God has up there. He wants us to look at the things, seek for the things that are there where Christ is. Where is He? It says He's sitting at the right hand of God. And if you understand the Jewish mindset, the right hand is the place of authority and power. So if He's at the right hand of God, that means we're supposed to be seeking the things that are in the place of God's authority. And so if we have circumstances and situations in our life, instead of meditating on how bad the situation is, we need to meditate on how great God's authority is over that situation. Whether it's for our healing, as we prayed about tonight, or whether it's for the direction and which course that we should go. Whatever it is, God has authority. If you're up against adversity, God has authority over that. I believe that as we get closer to the end of times, that we're going to see more persecution against the church. We see it everywhere else in the world, I imagine we'll get to start seeing it more so here. And we need to remember when we begin to go through it, whether it's persecution simply from an invisible enemy that is warring against our souls, or it is persecution from a physical entity that is embodying the spirit of our enemy, whichever way that it goes, we need to understand God has authority over it, and we need to seek those things where the authority of Christ is. And so we seek for the authority of Christ. I think it's very important for each of us to recognize whatever we're going through, Christ has authority over it. How many of us tonight have problems with finances? How many of us tonight need healing? How many of us tonight need deliverance? Or we know somebody who does. No matter what it is that we're going through, don't focus on the problem, but focus on the place where the authority is. Go through the Scripture. Find those promises that speak to your need and hold on tight to those promises no matter what goes on, because it's about the authority of Jesus and not the strength of your problem. The next verse there said, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. When Jesus taught us how to pray, He said we're supposed to begin with our Father, which art in heaven. He didn't say our Father who's here on earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. He wanted us to praise and worship God even in our prayers. Our prayer time should be focused in on God, not on us. And yet when we go to the Lord in prayer, how many times are we focusing on us? God, I need this. God, I want that. God, give me this. Right? Hallowed be Thy name. And then the Lord said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. It's not about what we think. It's not about what we want. It's about His kingdom. It's about His will. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And then He said, on earth, even as it is in heaven. Right? We have got to get to the point where we're not focused on the things of this world. Where we're not focused on how that we're going to take care of this, that, or the other. We're focused in on the kingdom of God and God's will. And even if sometimes it doesn't make a lick of sense, we know that it's God. And therefore we follow God. And as we do, we are going to the place of the authority. And we are coming to this place where our mind is on the things above. The way that God's will is in heaven, and bringing that to earth. So in other words, the way that I see this is when we begin to pray for healing, when we begin to pray for provision, we need to ask ourselves, is there debt in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there pain in heaven? Is there addiction in heaven? And so as we begin to pray, whatever the circumstance is, God, let Your kingdom come to the circumstance here. Let Your will be done in the circumstance here. I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the solution. My mind is set on the things above. Now, we've all heard it said, there are those that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about coming to the place where we're focused on who Jesus is, even in the midst of our problem. Because He's greater than the problem. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. You've been resurrected spiritually, and we need to begin to live a resurrected life here and now. Then look at verses 3 and 4. It says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Somehow we have bought into the lie that the life we're supposed to have as Christians is supposed to have everything that everybody else's life that they want in their lives. That somehow we're supposed to still be able to have it all. And that's great if God gives it all to you. But Paul told the church at Colossae, he did not tell them that they were supposed to live the life like the rest of the world. He said, don't have your mind on the things of the world. He said, you're dead. The things that you want in the world, they need to die. Because your life is hidden. And you'll not begin to experience the depths of your life until it's Christ. And that's all your life is about. To the early church, to live for Jesus meant you might have to die for Jesus. To the church today, living for Jesus is something you do because mommy and daddy did it and grandma and grandpa did it. Today, living for Jesus is a tradition instead of a lifestyle. We live for Jesus as long as He gives us what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. That's never the way it was intended to be. Paul said, you're dead. You've died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You cannot experience life if your life is not all about Jesus. You know what? It used to be our churches were full, not because everybody wanted to come together and see what was going on in the church, but because everybody was sold out to Jesus. I've heard the stories of how that when Sister France was a little girl, and her parents would be coming to church, and they would walk. Every morning they would set out early, and they would walk across town. And now, granted, town might not have been as big in those days, but still they would walk all the way to church, and they'd spend all day here at the church. And then they would get everybody, all the kids in a line, and they would all walk home. And the Robinson clan would just all walk home together at night. They'd come to church, and even if they didn't have food, they'd come anyway. And sometimes other people would meet them here at the church who walked here as well, and they had food left over, and they'd share. And everybody kind of had this atmosphere around this church in those days that going to church wasn't an experience. It was a part of just living for Jesus because He was more important than anything else. Something changed over the years. Something has radically changed. And it's no longer about Jesus. It's about the tradition. And we need to realize we're dead. Our life is hidden in Christ. And unless He reveals that life, all anyone's going to see is the death. But remember, we began in verse 1 by saying, if you're risen, right? There's something about your life here and now. Christ wants you to be alive. He wants you to have arisen. And yes, you're hidden in Jesus. And yes, the ultimate aspects of your life will not be revealed until Jesus calls us home to be with Him. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. But in the here and the now, as we keep our mind focused on the things of heaven, God's kingdom coming, God's will being done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. As we focus in on that kind of a lifestyle where it's all about Jesus. My life is all about Jesus. It's not about getting out of debt, though right now sometimes that's the way it feels. It's not about how big we can make the church grow to, though that's one of the things that drives me every time I turn around. My life has got to all be about Jesus. You're hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Again, I know this is talking about the end when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, and all the rest of us are caught up together with them in the air. I understand that. I get that. That's when we get to see the greatness of this life. But I think that we sell the Lord short so many times because we're just talking about how great it's going to be when the rapture takes place. And we forget Jesus wants to show His glory right here where we are. Christ is our life, Paul said. Christ is our life, Timothy wrote out. He is our life. Jesus came and He talked to us and He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have... I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. There's an abundance of life that the Lord wants us to have here and now. He wants us to be able to have an abundance of life even if we can't afford to pay the electric bill. He wants us to have an abundance of life even if we don't know how we're going to get groceries this week. You see, it's been a long time since America has been in that kind of a mentality. It's been almost 70 years, 80 years. Since America's had that kind of a mentality, but guess what? God has allowed things to happen in this nation to bring us back to that point where we realize we can have an abundant life even if we don't have anything. We have Jesus, and He's more than enough. Even if I go through and I'm facing struggle after struggle and trial after trial. I was once again thinking about it today. How many times that the enemy has attacked either myself or my family over the past year and a half. And the intensity of the attacks. It hasn't been like it used to be. I mean, it used to be like the devil was shooting spit wads. Now, it's really the fiery darts. And I feel it, and my family feels it. But you know what? If I have Christ revealed in me and His glory being revealed in me, I have life, and that more abundantly. You can have an abundant life wherever you are. Paul and Silas are over in prison. All that they're guilty of is loving somebody enough to release them from the power of a familiar spirit. And as a result of that, they're thrown in jail, accused of turning the world upside down. And there they are, and it's the midnight hour. They've been beaten. They've been whipped. They're bleeding. They're hurting. They're in pain. And it's midnight. And at the midnight hour, when you and I might really be looking at it all and saying, God, did You really bring me to this place? God, are You really the one who told me to do this? God, I'm questioning, do I really even know You? God, am I really a heathen in disguise? And we're going through all of these questions and we're questioning God. When Paul and Silas came to that point, they began to sing a hymn. Don't know what the hymn was. Doesn't tell us. We know what their hymns were. It was the book of the Psalms. And so one of those Psalms in there, they started singing it and just praising God, even though they were chained up, bound up, and bleeding. And they began to praise God. And Christ revealed Himself in the middle of their problem, in the middle of their circumstance. He revealed Himself. And the life that was inside of them revealed itself. Because all of the people that were there in the jail were suddenly free and could have run off. And when the jailer comes in, a heathen, does not know God, and he comes in and he's ready to take his own life, they say, spare yourself. We're all here. And that night, the jailer and his family and all the servants who worked for the jailer, They all got saved. They went down and got baptized, and everything turned around. Why? Because Paul and Silas were not focused on the stripes on their back. They were focused on the stripes on Christ's back. Paul and Silas were not focused in on the pains that they were enduring. They were focused in on the pains that Christ had already endured. And if he had gone through all of that and had been exalted to the right hand of the authority of God, they knew they could focus in on him and he would take authority over the situation and the circumstance, and he would work it all out in his time and in his way, because his powerful kingdom could invade even a jail cell. And if it can invade a jail cell, his kingdom can invade our homes. His kingdom can invade our bank accounts. His kingdom can invade our bodies. And his will in heaven can be done here on earth. When Christ, who is our life, appears, Lord Jesus, appear in our life again, then you also will appear with him in glory. Yes, I know, we'll stand before God one day in glory. But I believe the Lord wants to reveal his glory down here. The Bible's full of opportunities where God showed his glory. The children of Israel got up every day when they were going through the wilderness, and the men would stand in the doorpost of their tent and look out to the tent of meeting. This was before the tabernacle had even yet been created. And they would stand there at their tent, and they would watch as Moses would go into the tent. And they were very, very careful to see, is the glory of God still with us? Is the glory of God going to show up? According to history, every time that the wind, the ruach of God, they knew of God's Spirit as ruach, as wind. And the reason for it was every time Moses would go into the tent of meeting and the Shekinah glory of God's presence would fall, all of a sudden it was like a wind that would be blowing through that tent of meeting, and the flaps would expand and contract like the breath of God. And they believed it was God breathing among them. This carried on even into the tabernacle of meeting. And when the glory of God was there in the tabernacle, the sides of the tent would expand and contract like lungs. And they knew that the glory of God was there, that there was life in the camp. But when it finally comes time, and they lost the glory of God, instead of there being life at the tabernacle, Eli the priest will fall over and die. Phinehas and Hophni will die. And nobody sees the glory of God at the tabernacle anymore. And so they named the next child Ichabod. That the glory of God has departed. God always intended for his glory to be there. He always intended for his glory to show up. David goes and gets the Ark of the Covenant. He begins to bring it back. The glory of God comes in such a way that one of his best friends dies because he doesn't know how to handle the glory of God. Comes back again. The priests are now there. They're doing it the way it's supposed to be done. Everybody comes in. They're praising, they're worshiping God because the Ark of the Covenant of God's glory has come back into the tabernacle. Everybody is glad, and they see it and they rejoice. But yet in the midst of it all, there's no more breath in that tabernacle. David dies. His son Solomon builds the temple that David had dreamt of. And on the first day when the tabernacle was built, Solomon gets up and prays. And he says, God, you know what kind of people we are. We're being obedient to you. We just want to make sure, will you really listen to the prayers that we make in this place? Will your eyes really be watching us when we gather together here? Are you really going to show up? Will your glory be here? And when he gets through praying, fire falls from heaven, and such a smoke fills the place that the ministers cannot minister. The priests cannot do anything because the glory of God comes back again. All throughout time, God has desired to show his glory. And now Paul says, you are a living tabernacle, a living temple. Peter said, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, he's building us all together as a spiritual house. Why? God doesn't build a tabernacle if he doesn't intend on showing his glory. God wants to show his glory here on earth, but he can only show it if we're focused on Jesus. If we're focused on Jesus, because he is our life. One of these days, we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to choose either to have Jesus as the whole point of our life, or to have Jesus just as a tool to enhance our life. Maybe today for some of us, maybe this is the day. It's either all about Jesus or it's all about you. We need to make the choice. Let our lives be hidden in Christ so that Christ may appear in us and our life might appear and we might be able to be seen in God's glory. Will you stand tonight? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word. And Lord, this is just what you put on my heart to share. This is what you told me to deliver. So God, I've only done what you asked me to do. Now I pray that you take this word and you begin to apply it to the lives of those who received it. According to whatever is going on in their life, Lord, let your life begin to be seen. Father, I pray that we would accept the challenge to make sure that our life is not about us, but our life is all about you. Lord Jesus, be the focus of our heart. Be the focus of our life. Don't just be a tool that we use to better ourselves. But God, let us be a tool in your hand for you to use however you see fit. God, in the midst of whatever we're going through, we come to you and say, hide us, Lord, so that you may appear. Hide us, Lord God. Let us truly be dead to self. Let us truly be dead to the old man, to the old ways, God. Let us even be dead to our tradition so that, God, the life that is in Christ may appear and your glory may be seen. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, God. And we choose to make it all about you. In Jesus' name, we pray.